It's been a while since I've been up here. It's you'd have to take back to the end of 2012 when I was last here. I can't believe how time's flying by so quickly. We're already nearly into the third month of 2015, and it's going by too fast. But for those of you that were here when I last spoke, I spoke on the Psalms. It was Psalm 103, and we looked at the blessings of God. And I was thinking about what to speak about tonight, and I thought, well, I'll continue on the same theme. So tonight, I want to continue looking at both a psalm and yet further blessings that we get. And in specific here, I want to look at the blessings and the benefits that we get from reading, from studying God's Word. There are many things in this world that I'm sure you'll agree that give us benefits. You know, we get benefits with our employers sometimes. We get benefits with company cars, good pensions sometimes. Sometimes we get private health care. I know with us, my family, we get lots of benefits when we go to Tesco. We store up the Tesco points, and last year we were able to convert those Tesco points into air miles, and we got a nice holiday abroad last year that we probably otherwise wouldn't have been able to afford. So there are many things, and even living in Shetland. Yesterday, me and my brother were donning our wetsuits, and we did a bit of free diving, and we went to the bottom of the sea and got some scallops for a nice tea last night. And that's not something I could have done when I lived down in England a few years ago. So there's many benefits that we can have in this world, and I just want to look at the Bible tonight to show us that actually whatever the world has to offer, the most benefit that we can get is by reading God's Word, by studying God's Word, and applying that to my life and to our lives. I was speaking to my older brother the week gone, and we were just talking about things generally, and I was making him aware that I was speaking this Sunday, and when he asked me what I was speaking on, at that point, I wasn't entirely sure, but him, who's a bit of a seasoned speaker, he speaks quite a lot, he said something to me that I really relate to, having done the preparation. He said that he often finds as he's revising, and as he's reading around the subject, he just gets a lot more from studying around that in actually preparing the message than often he would find actually receiving the message. So I can really find that as I've looked around this study tonight, it's really encouraged me, it's really challenged me. It's felt in the same way that we heard this morning, almost not worthy. I know I'm failing in many ways, but I just hope that tonight you can get something from what I've looked at, because it certainly challenged me, and hopefully it will challenge you. We read in 2 Timothy 3:16, we read that all Scripture is God-breathed and is used for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And tonight, I want us to look at Psalm 19. So if you can turn with me to Psalm 19, it will come up on the screen. I'm not sure if you'll be able to read that, but we're going to look at the benefits and the blessings that this book, the book that God has written for us, the one that he wants to communicate with us and spend time challenging us. So we read in Psalm 19, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there no words, whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, who comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the ends of the heavens, and its circuit is to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat." Now, I want to just pause there very briefly. We're looking on the passage that I want to focus on tonight is reading from verses 7 to 11. So it reads from verse 7, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned." Just by way of background to this psalm, there are five books of psalms. And they all have their different strengths, but the one we're reading here from tonight is found in the first book of Psalm. It's chapter 19, and we're told at the top here it's written by David. And there's often been much speculation over this psalm as to whether it was actually one psalm or two psalms. And that being because there's a massive shift from verse 7 onwards. We've got this shift where he's speaking of creation, and then we've got the shift to the law, or God's word. And because of this, we see how God expresses himself in creation, and we also see how he expresses himself through the revelation of God's word. We see that in verses 1 to 6, we see the glory of God in creation, declared by the skies and demonstrated by the sun. It's interesting to note here that when God is revealing himself through nature, it's impersonal. The verse 1 uses the term Elohim for God, and that is an impersonal, generic term for God. And yet, when we look at verses 7 to 10, he uses the personal name for God, Yahweh. Some commentators refer to this first part of the psalm as being a general revelation of God, and we see that, you know, particularly prevalent living in Shetland. We see the beauty, the hills, the trees. Well, no, we don't see the trees. We see the skies and the sea. We see all these things, and that could be the general revelation of God. And then we look at the second part, and that is very much the personal revelation of God. And tonight we're going to look, as I said, to verses 7 to 11 and spend some time talking about the blessings and the benefits of God's word. Because this passage shows us the perfection of God's law and the law and the word does for us. Let's see. There we are there. So the first benefit that I want to pull out is it gives us life. And a dry mouth. We see in verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The word of God described here is the law, and the law of the Lord. In other translations you might find in your Bible, it's got the word teachings or instructions of the law. But here David means not merely the law of Moses, but the doctrine of God. The idea of perfection here is that of being complete or comprehensive. The word of God is without fault, and it's blameless. And this is simply because of who authored it. It's the Lord himself. But what does this word do for us? It says here that it revives the soul. And again, in other translations, you might see the word refreshing. It refreshes the soul. But the Hebrew word here for revive or refresh, it's translated elsewhere in the Old Testament as the word turn, or the word to repent. To revive is to bring back to life. We read in Ephesians 2 that it tells us that before we knew Christ, we were dead to sins, but through Christ we are made alive. It can be difficult, you know, going through life as a Christian. It's by no means a straightforward road. It's by no means a guarantee to continual, joyful, happy living. I know before I moved up to Shetland, one of the reasons I did move up to Shetland, actually, was because I was made redundant down in England. And it was a difficult time for the family because we'd made a decision when the kids were born that Helen would stay at home and she would look after the kids and I would go out to work. And so when redundancy came through, it was just a blow to the family, if I'm honest. And we really had to think how we would get through that. And it seemed to be, no matter how many letters I sent out or how many offices I went into to see, it was a bad time. Back in 2009, and there just wasn't much work going on there. And so I honestly felt quite low at that point. I felt, you know, quite miserable at times because you almost feel like a bit of a failure. You're wanting to get through life. You're wanting to supply your family, but it couldn't be done. And so I often found, though, at these low times, and particularly once I was got offered a place to come and apply. What's the word? I was accepted for interview. And when I was accepted for an interview here, I really spent a lot of time reading God's word and looking into it. And no matter what was going on in my life at that point, I just found that when I was reading God's word and I was studying in it and I was applying it to my life, it really did refresh me. It really did revive me. And when I came up for the interview, a couple of flights up to Shetland, it was the morning of the interview, and there was nerves, as naturally there are nerves. And I was reading the word, I was reading in Romans, and even just the morning of the interview, I just felt this calming. It wasn't a guaranteed you're getting a job or anything, but it was just a calming to know that, yeah, God is with me. He is there for me. And I don't know how you guys are, where you're at just now. There's many things in this world that can make us weary. You know, we can have financial problems, we can have disappointments, we can have conflict in family, with friends. You know, there might be things that you're struggling with, you know, with addictions, alcohol, drugs. There's many things in this life that sometimes can just bring us down, and we just don't necessarily feel so good. And I don't know how you're feeling today, but what we can look at here in this first line here is the idea that God will preserve and he'll refresh us as we look in his word and as we study his word. God knows us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And he will revive us and bring our life back into our soul. It's not comparable with anything else that we can find in this world. If we get far from God's word, then we will become dim. Jesus says, man cannot live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, Matthew 4:4. We depend on the word of God to be sustained in our life, and we need to spend some time in the presence of God. 2 Peter 1:3 reminds us that he has given us everything we need for a godly life. God's word makes things right in our hearts. It revives us. And there are many things that we need, but when we look at God's word, it will be a revival of the soul. And if you're feeling low at all, then we can just look at God's word and know that the truths within it can lift us up. The second benefit I want to look at here is it encourages wisdom. We read, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Here we have another description of God's word. First it was the law, and now it's the testimony. If I was to share with you my testimony, how Jesus Christ saved me, and how I was lost, and now I'm found, that would be my testimony. And we heard last week, or David Malcolm speaking, and he was saying how the testimony of someone is such a powerful thing, because it cannot be denied. And yet we're looking here, and it's referred to here as this word, it's the testimony. And this is God declaring his word to us. This is about him, this is about his life, and this is about creation. And we're also told that it's sure or steadfast. It does not change. It is true. And this is in contrast to this world that we live in, which is always changing. Man's view is always changing, but the testimony of the Lord is sure. And we can have confidence in this word. I was always struck a few years ago when Answers in Genesis came to visit the church I was attending down south, and they were talking of creation and evolution as they do. And one of the points that they were making was that man's view on subjects to do with evolution will always change. You know, you look back in old textbooks of science books and they'll say, oh, this happened then and this happened then. And as you look back in history, as man has become, they've learned certain things, or they've found new fossils or new bones. I've even reading or seeing on the news not long ago that they found this new fossil 139 million years. I mean, add a few more million, it might make it believable. But, you know, there's all these things that men just keep changing. But then we look at God's word, and what does it say? It's absolutely sure. It does not change. And that just gives us confidence, because we can look and know that what we are reading was as true then as it is now, and it will be for future to come. And we look, and what does this word do? It makes wise the simple. I mean, Linda's already referred to me as a special guest. I mean, special's maybe not the word I would use, but simple certainly is. You know, simple, we're all simple. You know, unfortunately, you guys, it's true. We all don't know the answers, and we need the answers. Using God's word, we will receive wisdom in all matters. In Proverbs 2, it says, the Lord gives wisdom, sound wisdom for the upright. And in Christ, we are upright. When we compare ourselves to the Lord, when we compare ourselves to the word and to the law, we just fall short, you know. But because of what Christ has done for us, we've sang many songs tonight about what he's done dying for us. And because of that, we can be upright. And so we can claim this wisdom that God has to offer, this wisdom that is sure. Wisdom can be defined as practical knowledge and living through the truths of God in our everyday life. Verse 8 here speaks of enlightening the eyes. This can be translated as giving perspective and understanding of what to do. God's word gives instruction on how we're to live, how we go about our married lives, how can we be a good wife, how can we be a good husband, How can we be good in our workplace? How do we look after our finances? How do we look after our life? There's all these aspects that we can look at when we look at God's word. But whatever decisions that we make in our lives, we've got to make sure that we are grounding them on the word of God and that we receive God's wisdom. The Bible tells us that in all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. The question is here, are you cruising through life? Are you making big decisions in your life just now and not consulting the word? Have you got big decisions coming up or even small decisions and just trying to make them on your own strength, on your own wisdom? And if you are, then you've got every chance of making the wrong mistake, the wrong decision, and you increase the likelihood of messing up. And we have no excuses. You know, we've got the Bible. It's so accessible in our day and age just now. We can have it. I've got multiple copies at home. Not that you're having one, but we've all got multiple copies. We've got things in our mobile phones. We've got tablets. We've got the internet. It's just so accessible. There's absolutely no excuse where we can't turn to the Word of God. And if we're looking for topical guidance, there's topical Bibles out there. We've got the Gideons. You flick through the back, and if you're wanting guidance on a certain area or subject, you can go into that Bible, and you can get some wisdom on that. So we need to just, as Christians, be looking at God's Word and applying God's Word. It is our compass in a world that's where the wind can so easily blow us off course. We need to make sure that we're looking at our compass and that we're looking to make sure that it's getting us going in the right direction. God's wisdom moves us away from the world's idea of success, money, fame, power, popularity, and it puts us to a life of selfless sacrifice. We can do this through the knowledge of knowing that our reward is ultimately in heaven with Christ for eternity. The third benefit I want to look at is that it gives us joy. It reads here, "The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb." Here we see the description of the God's word as the precepts, or the translations use statutes. And we're also told that the word is right. This means that it's straight as opposed to crooked. The idea here that God's word helps us walk in a manner that is worthy of the way that we've been called to walk. Just if you would turn to Joshua 1, verses 6 to 9. Here, this is at the point Moses has died and Joshua's the new man in charge and he's feeling a bit overwhelmed in what he's got to do. And we're reading in Joshua 1, starting from verse 6, it says, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause these people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers and give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, your servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And I just find this a tremendous encouragement because it's so easy to get caught up in the trappings of this world. You know, we can be thinking, I'm too tired or I'm too exhausted. I know it's a failing that I've got. I'll often stay up late at night. I'll watch a bit of TV and I'll know myself. You know, come the morning time, I'll be just too tired to get up and read God's word. But it's so easy just to get caught up and get into despair or find we're too busy. I need to go and work, need to earn some money for my family and all these sort of things. And yet we can actually just forget to lose what the priorities are in this world. The Lord's telling Joshua here to be in the word day and night, and you will not be down. You will be strong and you will have the courage that you need. The more we get into God's word and the more that we look at that continually, there is going to be a blessing. We're going to find ourselves in a good place and we'll start to be comforted by knowing God and knowing that he is always right. The benefit that we look at here is that it's told that it rejoices the heart. It brings a benefit of rejoicing heart. Life can be hard, but the word of God can fill us with that much needed inner joy. There is nothing that compares to God's word in this world. Perhaps there might be a temporary fix, but that feeling down will always come back, and we need to get into the word of God. We also look here that it's more desired than gold, much fine gold. Now, if I was to tell you that there was two boxes at the back of this church and one of them had, I don't know, £100 million in it and another one had an old dusty Bible, now which one would you take? Now, obviously, the right answer is take the Bible, but I'm sure many of you are thinking, you know, what could I do with £100 million? I mean, there'd be no mortgages, there'd be no needing to go to work, there'd be holidays at the beach. I mean, there's all these benefits that you could get from that substantial amount of money, and yet we're reading here that it's much more desired than gold. It's desired than much gold and much fine gold. In other words, it's the best that money, it's better than the best that money will get you. If you have a choice between the word, or if you have a choice between gold and God, if you have a choice between what God has to offer or what the world has to offer, you need to be choosing what God has to offer. As John Piper states, the benefit of knowing God, the benefit of knowing and doing the word of God is greater than all the money can buy. We should not be surprised if we're miserable or depressed or lacking joy if we're not continually spending time in God's word. Reference is made here also to being sweeter than also honey. Now, I don't know about you, but I know my kids love honey. I know when it comes to cereal time, and if they can't get honey in their cereal, there's going to be uproar. You know, there's cries of, I don't like it, I don't like it, I don't want it. And yet, just smothering that little bit of honey on it, it just makes it so much sweeter. And yet, when we look here, it's saying that it's even better than the sweetest things. Honey was a big thing back in David's day. You know, it was something that was considered quite nice and lovely. But yet, we're told here that actually, reading God's word is more enjoyable than the finest things that the world has to offer. This is perhaps appropriate as we're in this time of Lent just now. I don't know how many of you participate or are doing that, but quite often people will give up something that they feel is a sacrifice, that they feel it's going to be hard to give up. I know when we asked our kids what they're going to give up, Mackenzie decided she was going to give up crisps, and of course we thought, yeah, that's great. You know, she eats crisps all the time, she'll manage it. And Jed, in all his enthusiasm, said, yeah, I'm going to give up my Xbox, you know. And for those of you that know Jed, I mean, he would live day and night on that Xbox. And so he quickly realized, you know, 40 days without that, no, it's not going to happen. But, you know, whatever it is that we give up, in Jed's case, it would have been the Xbox. He desires after that Xbox. And yet, we're told here that we are to desire after God's word more than anything. And the question is, are we desiring God's word more than anything? Are we desiring God's word more than any physical sustenance that we can get in this world? There is richness and wealth in knowing God's word, and he wants it to be like that. The final benefit that I want to briefly look at is it promises enduring justice. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. The fear of the Lord. We must have reverence for who God is. You know, this is the God who's created everything that we know. It's an awesome thing. When we spend time in God's word, we are spending time with the Creator, the one that said, I am who I am. And it's such an awesome thought to know that we've got access to him on a daily basis. And yet, so many of us, and myself included, just find it such a, it can be difficult to continually motivate ourselves to get into the word. And yet here it speaks the rules of the Lord. Other translations, such as the NIV, it talks about decrees or judgments. Stuff happens in life. It does. You know, and you might be thinking, how can that happen? Or how does that happen to that person? Or why me? Or how can they do these things and yet they get away with it? You know, it just doesn't seem fair. And yet we're told here that whatever happens in life, we're told that his judgments, his rules are true and righteous. God is the one in charge, and he is the one in control, and he sees everything. Ultimately, those judgments are going to come to pass. We read in verse 11, by them your servant is warned. We are warned time and time again throughout this word, you know, what sin, the effects of sin has on us. But the good news is we're also told that in keeping them there is great reward. Throughout the Bible, this word reward shows up every time it talks of obeying God's word. Hopefully you've seen tonight that God's word is powerful. It is precious. And this great reward that David's talking about, well, again, hopefully we've seen that it's the reward that it refreshes. It makes wise the simple. It gives us joy. It sheds light in our lives. And I just want to steal a final quote from John Piper here. He suggests this: nothing could benefit us like the Scriptures. The Scriptures are the word of the Lord. It is better than anything else we can read, watch, listen to, newspapers, magazines, novels, books, television. Nothing has the good effects on us because of these things. They are all the word of man, and the Scripture is all the word of God. And just as a final way of concluding here, I just want to ask yourselves this, you need to think to yourself: do you want your soul to be revived? Do you want to grow in wisdom? Do you want a happy heart? And do you want a discerning mind? Do you want to be connected to something that is actually going to last forever? Something that you can always count on and be completely true and thoroughly right? Are you willing to commit to this word and make the changes in your life? Invest into this book. Are you ready for the wisdom that it can offer for your life? If you are, then I can recommend this book to you. You know, because this book can really change your life. It's the book that knows you more than you know yourself. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this word. We thank you, Lord, for the wisdom that it has to offer. And we thank you that with it, we can do great things. And we just pray, Lord, that we can be a people that want to rely on your word and know your word more. As we've sang tonight, we've heard about your son, Jesus, Lord. And through this word, we can learn exactly who he was and what he's done for us. And we can know what he was like as a man. And I just pray, Lord, as we read your word, that we can be people that are more like Jesus, that we are more effective in our place that you've put us, Lord. We just ask, Lord, that you bless this word in Jesus' name. Amen.